And worship so beautifully. Let's join together in a word of prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, it had been a bit of a whirlwind, a life that none of them expected. In terms of vocational career paths, it was decided long ago, and several of Jesus' disciples were going to be fishermen. They found themselves living a life oriented around the water. They lived a life dictated by the sea and its conditions, a life controlled by the sea and its profits, a fish that sustained them financially and physically. Their lives were marked by the water. And so, of Jesus' disciples who were fishermen, Jesus' call to follow him was a startling one, to leave the waters that they knew, to follow Jesus and fish for people. I wonder if they at all felt surprised that following Jesus would lead them back to water once again. Now, our passage today, there's a full day of teaching that precedes it. Jesus began teaching by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a busy place full of exporting olives, wheat, and wine, and people hustled and bustled all around. People got wind that Jesus was teaching, and people gathered all around the land, looking over the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus gets into a boat with some of his disciples, and they make a makeshift natural amphitheater, perfect for teaching and his voice being carried. Now Jesus spoke in parables, stories to help the disciples and the great crowds follow Jesus and know what it meant to follow God. So after a long and full day of teaching, Jesus says to the disciples, "Let's go over there, to the other side of the sea." Now of his disciples who are fishermen, they are not unfamiliar with that water. They were controlled by it, marked by it. They knew of its unpredictability. They knew that the Sea of Galilee was particularly susceptible to sudden and violent storms as the cool air from the Mediterranean collided with the hot and humid air over the lake. And because they would have known this, when we read that waves were crashing over the boat and the boat was swamped with water, and we hear the disciples cry out, "Don't you care if we are perishing? Don't you care if we are going to drown?" You have to think that they knew that that was a real possibility. They had been on this water. We can only assume that if they thought it was so terrible a storm that they might die, it really was. You have to wonder, what were they thinking in that moment? Here they are, having given their lives to following Jesus. They've left everything they knew, everything that gave their life security, and they left it. And where did following Jesus get them? But right into the eye of the storm. And doesn't life feel that way sometimes? That we're trying to follow Jesus, trying to love God and love our neighbor, trying to love and pray for our enemies, trying to foster justice, mercy, and reconciliation, and yet we end up in a storm. I can really empathize with the disciples as they panic, play through all of the options of how is this scenario going to end, and they decide that it's going to come down to death, and so they cry out, "Teacher, don't you care if we are going to drown?" We so very much want a relationship with God that shields us. A sort of impervious bubble, the most extreme vision of a helicopter parent. We want to be protected from life storms. And may at times find our own prayers echoing that of the disciples. "Don't you care if we drown? Or are you just asleep on my boat?" As the disciples are in crisis and water is quickly filling the boat, what I find fascinating is not that Jesus is awoken by the storm. He lies asleep. He is awakened by their cries. He is awakened by them yelling out to him to help them. What did make him respond was their cries. When they cried out, Jesus responded. He gets up and very simply, swiftly, with authority, commands the storm. Be quiet. Be still. Oliver said it so softly. I imagine it was a little bit louder than that, you know, yelling in a storm, but he did a wonderful job. In the face of a storm that seemed to have only one ending, death, Jesus' response of control and assurance, he responds to the cries of his disciples, be still, be quiet, and the storm stops. While the disciples may have been disgruntled that following Jesus led them into a storm, they were not left alone in the storm. Jesus went with them with power and presence and love, commanding the threats of the storm, sheltering them through the journey. They could trust the one who held command of these waters. Today, as we have joyfully baptized four beloved children of God, we are reminded that in the waters of baptism, we join Christ both in his death and in his resurrection. And as these little ones are just little ones, today we remember that in their baptism, we are reminded of our own. These waters of baptism are not always still or placid. They're not always crystal clear blue. But in baptism, we are never alone. We've been joined with God's family forever as a beloved of God, forever indelibly marked by a God who in Jesus entered the chaos of life, entered with the sharp winds of suffering, and endured the watery depths of even death. In baptism, we are joined with Christ in the chaos of this life, in suffering, and even in death. And we are assured that Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, is there in every storm, in command and in control. Jesus has entered the very depths of human existence, and so too will we in this life. And as we encounter the depths of storms, we are also assured that we will know the depths of God's love for us and for this world, the depths of hope, and the heights of becoming a new creation. Because in the waters of baptism, we are also raised with Christ to new life, restored from the inside out, becoming the resurrected people as we follow Jesus in this life. In baptism, we are washed, cleansed, and remade. We are claimed by God as God's beloved child. The world often wants to tell us who we are, giving us all sorts of identities and labels. We're often told that we must become certain things in order to be worthy of love, in order to be worthy of belonging. But in these waters of baptism that are sometimes stormy and peaceful, we are told that that is a lie. We are forgiven and released from the power of sin now. We are part of God's family now. We are beloved children of God now and forever. I was sharing with a friend this week about this sermon. I was feeling trepidation to preach on what is such an important day where we baptize four children, as well as following a very hard week for our congregation. My friend, her father is a Methodist pastor, and she shared with me that the phrase, remember your baptism, was a frequent one in their home, as I suppose must be the case for many pastors' children. While she and her siblings were very young, her parents had them baptized. Before the parents knew who their children would become or what challenges they would face in life, they went to these waters and gave their children to God, in trust and in faith that it would be God who would carry them through this life. In the years to come, their family would face many joys and challenges, graduations and also marriages, lots of love and lots of laughter. But they would also face challenges, such as when her brother, their son, was assessed as being high functioning on the autism spectrum. In times of great trial, when they did not know what was yet ahead of them, they would remember his baptism, remembering that they entrusted their son to God long ago, and God is faithful. In the midst of meltdowns and significant challenges with education or social life, they would hold their son and tell him, "Remember your baptism. Remember that you are held by God, claimed by God. And in the middle of the depths of the storm, that God is still with us, that he hears our cries and responds with authority to lead us through this life." And then at other times, their family would be very weary, and they would come to a congregation such as this. Her dad, the pastor, would call the congregation to remember their baptism, to remember their commitment to God and to God's people. And that family was able to trust that God and God's people are also fighting for their child. They are committed to their children because everyone had vowed in baptism. Like the disciples, we are marked by these waters. We are changed by these waters. We can trust these waters. Because in the waters of baptism, we are held by God, claimed by God, cleansed by God, and made new by God. So today, let us remember our baptisms. Let us remember the life that God has called us into as beloved children of God. Let us remember the promises of God in Scripture that say, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God." Trust these waters. Remember your baptism. May we walk in faith, knowing that God is with us in death and in life, here and in eternity. Trust these waters. Remember your baptism. Amen.